We are continuing Surah Maida, and the verse I recite is verse number 103. And Allah is talking about what kind of ideology Kuffar has had at that time. And he is talking about the ideology of Kuffar. I'll first read the translation. Allah has not appointed any Bahira, Saiba, Wasila, and Ham, but those who disbelieve make up a lie against Allah, and most of them do not understand. So Allah is talking about Bahira, Saiba, Wasila, or Ham. And those were the ideology of Kuffar at the time of Jahaliya, time of ignorance. Who was called Al-Bahira? It was a she-camel who gave birth to five times. She-camel who gave birth to five times, and when she gave birth five times, they would split her ear, and then she would be refrained from riding or being slaughtered. And she would not be driven away from any water or pasture. She is being treated special because she gave birth to five offsprings. Who was Saiba, Al-Saiba? Al-Saiba was because of some kind of vow. That if somebody says that if I come safe from this journey or something will happen to me, I will give this camel is special. She'll be treated special like Bahira. So that was this she-camel was called Saiba. Bahira means that she will have special privileges, that she will not be slaughtered, and she will not be, nobody can ride on her, and she will be allowed to drink from anywhere she wants. And another narration about Al-Saiba is the one she-camel who gave birth to 10 female. This was also called Al-Saiba. And who was Al-Wasila? Al-Wasila was a female goat who gave birth 7 times. So then when she gave birth to 7 times, then she was not allowed to be slaughtered. That was Al-Wasila. And who was Al-Hammi? Al-Hammi was the male camel who was the cause of 10 pregnancies. Once he became the cause of 10 pregnancies, nobody is allowed to ride on that male camel because he was a special male camel. So Allah is talking about that all these ideologies were invented by people of ignorant time, the Kuffar. So Allah says, those who disbelieve make up a lie against Allah. They used to say that it's from Allah. Allah says this was not from me, it was a lie from them. وَلَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And most of them do not understand. Now Allah talks more about them, how they were. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى رَسُولِ قَالُوا حَزْبُنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا وَأَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. They had such kind of ideology. Allah is telling how they behave. The translation goes like this. And when it is said to them, come to what Allah has sent down and to the messenger, they say, that which we found our fathers upon is enough for us. What? Even though their fathers did not know anything and did not follow the right way? It's Allah's question. So, when it's told to them that come to what Allah has revealed and come to Prophet, they say, whatever we found our father, it's enough for us. Allah says, what? Even if their father did not know anything and they were not guided? That is a tendency of kuffar, ideology of disbeliever, that they don't want to gain the knowledge what Allah revealed and followed Prophet. They just wanted to follow their old traditions from the fathers and forefathers. See, taqleed, following is allowed in Islam. Taqleed means to follow somebody, like we follow marja, right? Taqleed is wajib. If you don't know and you are jahil and somebody is alim like mujtahid, then you have to follow him. But if one mujtahid is not allowed to follow another mujtahid because both are learned, it is only one who doesn't know has to follow the learned man. So these forefathers, Allah said, had no knowledge. But there could be a possibility that maybe they were following some knowledgeable person. But Allah discredited their whole ideology by saying, وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ, that neither they had knowledge, neither they were guided. That means they were totally lost. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Oh, you have faith, take care of your own self. He who strays cannot harm you when you are on the right way. To Allah is your return totally, then He will inform you what you had been doing. It's one of the most beautiful verses in Quran. And Mizan has described in so detail, we don't have time. But Allah is saying, oh believer, take care of yourself. So that if somebody who is misguided and if you are guided will not hurt you. And are you to return to me? And I'll inform you what you've been doing. That's how it is. This verse was revealed when believers were in a small number and they were frustrated with all this kuffar at the Prophet time. And they used to worry why they are not being guided. Allah said, take care of yourself. Why you worry about them? And if you are guided, somebody who is misguided will not hurt you. Allah says, don't worry, they'll not hurt you. What happens in today's society? When we try to follow Islam and people don't come to mosque, don't read Quran, don't do taqwa, and we get frustrated and we worried them too much about them, it's not allowed. All you can do is Amr bin Maruf and Nahy anil Munkar. That's allowed and it's wajib. But to hurt yourself to the point that you just get discouraged and just lose your own confidence, it's not allowed. You've seen people who just get frustrated and they also start following Islam. Say that everybody doesn't do, so I don't do either. No, it's not allowed. You take care of yourself. Alaykum anfusukum. Take care of yourself. You don't worry about that. If somebody is misguided, should not hurt you if you are guided. So protect yourself. So we know that we live in this universe alone. There's nobody. Although we live with millions of people, with our family, with our friends, but in reality we are alone. We are alone. And we know that only our communication goes with our Creator. That's why Allah says that you are all going to me. Verse says that, وَإِلَلَّهِ مَرْجِعَكُمْ جَمِيعًا. You are all coming to me. So our soul knows that we are alone and we are going very fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us. Day and night we are going towards Him. You are sleeping, playing, eating, we are going to Him. As a child, we have to live with ourselves. As an adult, we have to live with ourselves. And we die, we have to be with ourselves in grave. And we know that we are going towards Him. So, we have to know ourselves. We have to know ourselves. Now there are, when we start pondering in ourselves, there are two kinds of pondering. Imam Ali says, gnosis through soul is more beneficial of two gnosis. What is gnosis? Gnosis is to know somebody. Imam Ali says, gnosis through soul is beneficial, more beneficial than two gnosis. What are two gnosis? One gnosis is to know Allah through universe, and one gnosis is to know Allah through our own self. So Imam says that our knowing, gnosis of knowing ourselves is better than gnosis through universe to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Imam says, he who knew his soul, he knew his Lord. One who knew his soul, knew his Lord. So when we know Allah through universe, it's an easy knowing. Because you see stars, moons, and you see the creation, and you know there's Allah. But this is an easy knowing, and it's good. But more beneficial is to know through your own self. Because to know yourself is hard. Because it's not kind of such a evident thing to know yourself than to see sun and moon. But when you start seeing yourself and focusing in your soul, you see that you are alone in this universe. You have to live with yourself and you're going fast. And you have a lot of weaknesses. Weaknesses, imbalances, you know that. And you are very dependent on your Creator. When you start seeing you see yourself alone and you see you're going fast. So you start seeing your Creator. That's how first you know yourself, then you start seeing Creator. That you are going fast to Him. And then you start seeing your weakness and you start seeing His perfections. that he is all knowledgeable, all omnipotent, all enlightened, all the light come from him, all risk come from him, all kind of bounties come from him. So slowly, slowly you start getting attracted towards him. That's how I see your Lord. Says, astute is he who knows his soul and purifies his deeds. Once you know yourself, you purify your deed. Why? Because you know that you have to take care of yourself. Alaykum anfasakum. Take care of yourself. You know that I'm going to my Lord, I have to take care of myself. I have to purify myself. Qad aflaha man zakkaha. That's it. If the one who purifies himself is the successful one. There are a lot of quotations from Imam Ali alayhi salam. I'll read some of them. The biggest wisdom is man's knowledge of his soul, Imam says. Knowledge of his soul. The most knowledgeable of people regarding his soul is the one who fears his Lord the most. When we have taqwa, when we fear Allah, we start seeing our soul. Otherwise, we will not see our soul. Quran says, and be not like those who forgot Allah, so he made them forget their own souls. If we forget Allah, we will not see ourselves. Allah make us forget ourselves. This is Quran. Then Imam says, I am surprised about the man who searches for his lost item while he has lost his own soul and does not search for it. We try to pinpoint other people, their faults and all that, and say that they are not following Islam, and we don't search our own soul. And we get lost, and we get frustrated by people's problem. That's all wrong path, and we see in communities happening every day. Imam says, I am surprised about the man who is ignorant of his soul. How does he know his Lord? If we are ignorant of our own self, how will we know our Lord? We are not seeing ourselves. How will we see our Lord? Imam says, the end goal of knowledge is that man should know his soul. Our whole purpose is to know our soul. Then once we know our soul, we know that this is our entity, which is eternal entity hiding here. That's me, the real me, which is me, which I have to take care of me. Because this me will go to the grave, and this me will be raised on the, will live in Barzakh. And this me, which I don't see inside, is the real me, will live in Barzakh. I had to purify and enlighten so I can live in Barzakh with some dignity. And raise on judgment day with some dignity. That's knowing yourself. Not just fixing your hair and looking good physically and wearing good clothes. We are not seeing ourselves. The real me is hiding inside, which will come out when we die as a soul. We try to do hair transplant and wear nice clothes and look cool, but never took care of the real me. Most of us, we do that. Islam allows hair transplant, but it's a very small thing. I'm just telling you, if somebody say, well, we should not do hair transplant, do it. But it's a very small thing. The real thing is fix yourself. Real yourself. Now the next verse is about wasiyat. Ya ayyul ladina amnu shahadatu bainikum idha hadara ahadakum al-mautu heena al-wasiyati ithnane dawa adlim minkum aw akharan min ghairikum in antum darabtum fil ardi fa asabatkum musibatul maut tahbisunahuma min ba'di salati fa yuqsimana billahi إن ارتبتم لا نشتري به ثمنا أو لا قانا ذا قربا ولا نكتم الشهادة تالله إنا إذل من الآثمين. It's a long verse. First I'll give you background, then I'll give you translation inshallah, because when we give background, it will be easy to understand it. There was a person, Muslim man, his name was Ibn Abi Maria. He was a Muslim and he wanted to go to journey. So there were two Christians companions, their name were Tamim and Uday. They came out of Medina and they went on journey. And while they were on journey, this Muslim man got sick and he wrote a will. He wrote a will and hid it somewhere. And he told his Christian friends that these items which I got, I'm dying, please save them, and when you go back to Medina, give it to my family. So what they do, that they took out some expensive stuff from there, which was expensive, and rest they came out and returned to the family. Family knew what he took. So they were kind of questioning what happened to other precious things he had. And luckily he wrote the will, and in his will he wrote all the items which he was carrying. So they confronted that he wrote in the will those items, where those items are. And they started arguing about it. So they came to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when they came to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this verse was revealed. So now we understand the background of the verse. Now I'm going to read the translation. So I'll read the whole translation, then we'll go slowly, inshallah. Oh, you have faith called to witness between you when death approaches any of you while making a bequest. Two just persons from among you or two others from other than you, if you are traveling in the land and the affliction of death befalls you. Detain the two after the prayer, then if you doubt them, they shall swear by Allah. We will not sell it for any gain, even if it were a relative. And we will not conceal the testimony of Allah, for then we would indeed be among the sinners. This is the translation. Now, Allah says that you have to, believers, when death approach you, then you have to make a will. Especially when Prophet has lot of narrations, ahadith, that we should always carry your will all the time. Even keep under your pillow. It's very important to have will. But especially if somebody is getting sick, there's a time to make a will. When you make a will, there should be two just Muslim persons who are witness. Okay? Two just Muslim persons. But if you are traveling and the hardship of death comes to you, then if you don't get Muslim, then get from other religion two person. First you try to find a Muslim, but if you don't find Muslim because you're traveling, there's nobody there, then you get non-Muslim. Non-Muslim is people of book, Jews and Christian, you get them. Or you live in a town where there is no Muslim, then you get non-Muslim, Jews and Christian. And if you doubt that they, and you doubt on them, on their witness, then after the Salat of Asr, you keep them in the mosque, and after keeping a mass, you ask them to swear by Allah. And they should swear that we will not sell any gain out of this witness, even if they are my relative, nor I'll conceal the testimony of Allah. For then, if I do that, I'll be the sinner. So if you doubt that these witnesses sold their testimony just to get some benefits from this lying, in certain sense, then you hold them after this Asr prayer, and they have to take testimony swearing Allah's name, and say that we have not sold this testimony, even if they are my relative, nor I'll conceal the testimony of Allah, and if I do that, then I am the sinner. Imam Ali says, the quickest retribution is the retribution of false oath. Allah takes quickest retribution by taking false oath. So, if somebody asks us to be witness, as a believer, we have to be witness. And when you lie and falsify oath, you are the sinner in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah says further, in usra ala an mustahqa ithman fa akharane yaqumane maqamuhuma min alladhina istahqa alaihimul awliyana fa yuqsimane billahi la shahadatuna ahqu min shahadati ma wa ma'tadaina inna idalla min adh-dhalimin. Now what happens further? Then if it becomes known that both of them have been guilty of a sin, then two others shall stand up in their place from among those nearest to the deceased who have a claim against them, and swear by Allah, certainly our testimony is truer than the testimony of those two, and we have not transgressed, for then we would indeed be of the unjust. See, Allah's rules are perfect. Then if they doubt that they have sinned by lying, Allah says the two on the same spot, two from their family, nearest to family, who had claim against them should stand up and swear by Allah and say that our testimony is truer than the testimony of these two, and if we have transgressed, we are the zalimin, we are the unjust one. So Allah gives chance to the one, to the closest family member who has right on the property. And if, when you do that, what will happen? Allah says, "Dalika adna an yatubi shahadati ala wajhiha aw yakhafu an turadda aymanun ba'da aymanihim wattaqullaha wasma'u wallahu la yahdil qawmal fasiqin." So what will happen? Allah says, this is more proper that they give testimony truly, or fear that others' oath is given after their oath, and be in fear of Allah and listen. Allah does not guide the transgressing people. When you do that, what will happen? That they will try to give true testimony, because they will fear that their testimony will be rejected because of these two others' testimony. And Allah says that fear Allah and listen. Wallahu la yahdil qawmal fasiqin. Allah does not guide transgressing people. Allah's rules are perfect. If these two first one lied against the testimony, these two will get up, stand up. They swear by name of Allah, who was close to the closest in relation, and they had some right on their property. They had right on property, and they said that my testimony is better than. Our is better than these two. So then Allah says that will make them fear, and they'll give you truer testimony, because they'll fear that their testimony will be rejected by their testimony. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Now Allah says in the next verse, Yoma Yajmullahu Rasulu Fayakulu Maza Ujiptum Kalu La Ilmanala Innaka Anta Allamul Ghuyub. The day Allah will gather the messenger and say, what response were you given? They will say, we have no knowledge. Verily, you are the all-knowing of the unseen. Yawma yazmullahu rasulu fayaqulu maza ujibtum qalu la ilma lana innaka anta allamul ghuyub. Allah will gather everybody on judgment day. Prophets will be gathered and they will be the witness. And they have to give witness. And they will give witness. But Allah says a different aspect of their witness is that when Allah will ask the witness, Allah say, what reply you got? They say, we don't know anything. They knew to a certain degree, but they will show their humbleness. They'll say, we knew nothing, Allah. Innaka anta allamul ghuyub. You are the knowing of the unseen. On the judgment day, things will come out in their truest sense. Only Allah knows the truest sense of everybody. The absolute truth only Allah knows. Because Allah knows the unseen. Prophets knew as much as Allah taught them. They will say, Allah, we only knew as much as you taught, but we don't know unseen. We are not knower of absolute truth. And you are the only one who knows absolute truth. And that shows Allah's majesty and kingdom. That's why He's called Malik Yawmiddin. Because He is the owner of the Day of Judgment. He knows the absolute truth of everything. He knows the secrets of heart. He knows the ghaib. He knows unseen. Allah taught Prophet unseen as much He wanted, not the whole thing, as much He wanted. So this is verse to see the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now next verse is about the Day of Judgment again. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَذْكُرُ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَتِي إِذْ أَيَّدْتُكَ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ تُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا وَإِذْ عَلَّمْتُكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ تَيْرِ بِإِذْنِي تنفقوا فيها فتكونوا تيرم بإذني وتبرئ الأكمى وأبرص بإذني وإذ تخرج الموتى بإذني وإذ كففت بني إسرائيل عنك إذ جئتهم بالبينات فقال الذين كفروا منهم إن هذا إلا سحر مبين. سبحان الله. This is the verse, this is the last verse for today. I'll read the whole translation first. Remember when Allah said, O Jesus, son of Mary, remember my blessings on you and your mother. When I strengthened you with the Holy Spirit, you spoke to people in cradle and in adulthood. And when I taught you the book and the wisdom, and the Torah and evangel, and when you did make of a clay a thing like a shape of bird, by my leave, then did breathe into it, it became the bird, by my leave. And you did heal the blind and leprous, by my leave. And you did raise the dead, by my leave. And when I withheld the children of Israel from you, when you brought them manifest proof. But those who disbelieved among them said, this is nothing but a clear magic. Allah will remind on the day of judgment, Jesus Christ, the kind of favors Allah gave to him and his mother. Because when Allah talks about Jesus, he doesn't talk about Jesus, but always talk about his mother Mary. Allah has connected Jesus with Mary most of the time with all blessings and all kind of favors. Because when Allah favored Jesus, Allah also favored his mother Mary. And Allah will remind him that he helped him through Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit, he could talk while he was in the cradle in the same way as he was a youth. And Allah taught him the book and wisdom and Torah and Injil. Allah said, I taught you. And Allah says that you used to make by clay the shape of the bird, and when you used to breathe into it, it used to become a real bird by my leave. And by my leave, you cured leprous and blind. By my leave, you raised dead alive by my leave. And Allah says that when children of Israel wanted to hurt you, I protected from them. And those who disbelieved in you and me, when you showed all these signs, they say it's nothing but magic. So there are narration from Aima Tahirin that at the time of Musa alayhi salam, there was so much sorcery and magic. So Allah gave miracles to Musa like that, like a shining hand and changing staff to big snake, you know. When at the time of Jesus Christ, there was so much sickness going on in the community. So Allah gave the magic of medicine to Jesus Christ. And at the Prophet time, it was a time of poetry and sayings and sermons. So Allah sent the miracle of Quran Hakim and sermons of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And sermons of Ahlul Bayt, which we see, you know, as a proof against that. So Allah sent miracles accordingly. Now we'll see what happened in end time when Imam Azama comes and what he brings. Please decide on salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So by my leave came very repeatedly. With all his miracles, most of miracles, especially when he made the bird alive and he cured the leopard and blind man, and when he took the dead man alive outside of the grave, Allah put by my leave right there many times, just to show that for even a second we should not have doubt that it was not done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because people call Jesus as a God now because of these miracles. If he did not show these miracles, he would not be called God. Because of this miracle, people called him God. Allah put by my leave all the time. So you don't doubt that. And there is a story about that Jesus in the childhood had a friend, and then after a long time, Jesus did not see his friend. Then he saw his mother and asked his mother, where is that person? She said that he died. So Jesus said that, do you want him to be raised again? She said, why not? So he goes with his mother to the grave and says, by Allah's leave, get up. So he comes out of the grave. And Jesus said that you have 20 more years to live. You will eat and drink on this planet. You will have marriage and you will have children. Alhamdulillah bil alamin. These are the miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have faith in this. Now this was Jesus Christ. Now we go to our verse. Allah says that you take care of your nafs. You should take care of yourself. taking care of nafs is the wisdom. Imam Ali keeps saying that taking care of nafs is the wisdom. And when we see Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when we see Imam Ali alayhi salam, Quran talks about his nafs, that Allah says there is somebody who sold his nafs for Allah's will. This is Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he sold his nafs for Allah's will. Now we see Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala. In Karbala, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allah called him nafsa mutma'inna, a serene soul. Imam Hussein was a nafsa mutma'inna. Imam Ali sold his nafs. Imam Hussein was called nafsa mutma'inna. And who were the enemy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? They had nafsa ammara. Their nafs was nothing but desire. There's desire fooled them. On one hand, Imam on the 10th of Muharram, because of nafs-e mutma'inna, people saw on Imam Hussein's face the tranquility. They were surprised to see the tranquility on his face, the noor of the on his face, because they thought that they're torturing Imam Hussein, who was a saint. But they were surprised to see the tranquility and peace on his face. That on one hand, the kuffar who were battling and they were following their desire, like Shimr and Umar Saad, they were following their bestial desire to gain money and power. And they were extreme on their desire, and they had the most disturbing faces and disturbing heart. On another hand, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he was being slaughtered, he had such a patience and such a serene soul. Ya ayyuhal muslimin, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen.